Well, good day to you, and welcome. Welcome to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching Ministry. On this radio station at 8:30 in the morning, Monday through Friday, you will hear verse by verse Bible preaching messages. We leave nothing out. We cover everything in God's Word, and we don't pick around and bounce around. We go from verse 1 of the chapter to the end of the chapter, and then we start the next chapter, and till then we keep going until the book is over. Then we start a new book. And we are a ministry of the Wash and Word. Maybe you've seen us. We're a hand car washing business in Church Hill. We're located in the Powell Shopping Center on Highway 11. And where we get our name from, Wash and Word, the wash part is, of course, the hand washing of your vehicle. And we clean the inside. We have different service options that you can choose from. We have full details. And then the word part of the name, Wash and Word, is this. We transmit verse-by-verse Bible teaching messages, and they transmit it in the parking lot of the Wash and Word. So while you're getting your car washed or you're waiting in line to get it washed, you can tune to 107.1 FM, and there you can hear this message and others that we play on a loop all day long during open business hours. And they transmit about as far as the parking lot. So you don't even need to get your car washed. You can just pull into this parking lot, turn to 107.1 FM, and you can listen to these verse-by-verse teachings. Also, you can go to the washandword.com website where all of our sermons and teachings are archived. All right, we are still in chapter 4 of the book of John. We should be finishing today and try to get into chapter 5. We are on the heels now of the... we just finished talking about the Samaritan woman and how many of the Samaritans came out to believe once the woman went back with her testimony. And we talked a lot about how, you know, how our personal testimony is so important. But we ended talking about, in our last message, about how the sovereignty of God is dual-fold and sometimes trifold and fourfold and sometimes, you know, thousandfold. And in other words, when God does something in your life, it's being done because there's something else somewhere else that's directly attached to what is happening in your life. And we got that from taking a look at the Samaritan believers, where how Jesus stayed around for a couple of days to talk with them, but also he stayed around. And because he stayed around, one of the officials were able to get to Jesus to talk about his son, who was sick. And so we ended talking about obedience to God, because when you're obedient to God, you never know who or what your obedience is going to affect in the lives of somebody else. So we're going to pick that up right here in verse 47, and we're going to read. It says, "When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death." Now, I'm going to stop right there because I want to talk about response to the Lord. That is, you can have the right response and still be wrong. So you might be saying, huh? What does that even mean? Well, oftentimes we might plead with Jesus for the right thing, maybe a healing, or we need some financial help in our lives, or we need a job, or our marital help. But we plead these righteous things on our grounds. And what I mean by that is we expect a certain answer. We are asking the Lord for the right things. We are responding and talking to God for the right things, but we might have the wrong reasons or the wrong expectations. And we need to be careful of our expectations of how Jesus will respond to our right pleas. So you may be asking for a right thing and for a right reason, but be careful with your expectations. Have you ever come to Jesus with a request, perhaps out of desperation, like this man? His son was close to death. Surely he's desperate. Have you ever had a need that was burning in your heart for which you had no answer? But in your mind's eye, you saw the way that it should work out. In other words, you're praying for something. And like, let's take this man, for example. In his mind's eye, he would go to Jesus. Jesus would follow him back to the house. Jesus would heal his son. And everything would be hunky-dory. So in his mind's eye, he had a perfect way for this to work out. I mean, we all do this, I'm afraid. Out of the anguish of our hearts, we can think of no other way for Jesus to respond than that way that we already have preconceived in our minds. So thus we pray, come down, Lord, and do this and do that. But then he does not come, and we oftentimes during those situations begin to have doubt and questions in our mind. I could remember a time years ago before I got, well, it was during my salvation, I guess you might say. But anyway, I was married once before, and I found the Lord, and for one reason or another, it didn't work out, and I've since remarried, and I'm with the love of my life now that I know God is placed there. But anyway, all that aside, there was a time that when we had separated in my first marriage, we had kids. There were 7 and 9, and I had just found the Lord, and I think that's one of the reasons why the separation took place. And I was, begging God to just restore the family. And I was begging God to save my ex-wife, and that we would get back together, and that our kids would be raised in a godly home. And so in my mind, I'm preconceiving the answers to my prayers. And these are answers to the prayers that could not be wrong. There's no way for me to pray that there'd be reconciliation for our marriage, that there would be salvation for my ex at the time, that there would be unification of our children, and that all of us would go on to serve and worship the Lord as a new born-again family. And as I prayed this prayer, I'm thinking to myself, there is absolutely no way God will not answer this prayer. It's exactly what God would want, or so I thought. Anyway, 17 years later, looking back, I know what God did. I'm glad he did it this way. And in the long run, everything is actually working out for the glory of God in many ways. But I only brought that up just to remind you that your preconceived notions of how God is supposed to work in a particular situation, they're probably wrong. And so we must abandon any preconceived thoughts of how God will move in a particular situation. We have to abandon it. When God begins to respond outside of our preconceived notions, what happens? Well, we begin to get a little uneasy in our spirit, don't we? We have this idea of how God can work this all out perfectly, but then it starts to go in a different direction and we start to get uneasy. We say, wait, God, this isn't how I envisioned it. Surely you must understand that if you do it this way instead, it's going to have a much better... Are we so foolish sometimes? I mean, isn't it crazy when we do that? Yet, if you're honest with yourself, that's exactly what we do. And so Jesus, now getting back to this man, this official who came and begged him to come and heal his son, Jesus is now speaking to the people. And he replies to the official, but he's actually speaking to the people around him. Look at verse 48. Jesus says, unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. And Jesus replied, you may go, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. And while he was still on his way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. And when he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, the fever left him yesterday at the 7th hour. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and all of his household believed. This was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee. And so there it is. There it is, in the end, Jesus coming through. But could you imagine how difficult it must have been to walk away from Jesus and just go on faith and to take Jesus at his word? This guy must have been... I could just imagine the devil having a field day in his mind as he walked away. Now, he took Jesus at his word, and that was commendable. But just again, imagine that trek back home. And you know, there are times where you do the same thing. You know, you take Jesus at his word, or, you know, you feel God talking to you with the Spirit. And then you think about some of the words that you've read in the Bible, and you start to reflect and recall. You know, it does say that God will meet all of my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And it does say that God will work all things out to the good of those who love him. And you know, it on and on and on, we get scriptures about how God is going to take care of us, and how if we trust him and we take him at his word and we put our faith in him, that he's going to come through for us. And we say to ourselves, you know, I know for a fact because it's in his word, and I have seen it because in my life prior to this particular instance that I'm praying about, or whatever it is you're praying about, you have seen God show up. You have seen the situation change, and you have read God's word, and you have experience to draw from and a track record to draw from. And yet we still wonder and worry sometimes as to how God is going to fix this situation or from where he will do it. And imagine this official, though, going back home. He has no track record to draw upon. He has no proof from others who have experienced this same type of thing. He has no Bible that he can reflect on that shows the workings and the life of Jesus Christ. And so on the way home, prior to his servant meeting him and giving him the good news of his healed son, I could just hear this poor man just having this battle in his mind. I should have pushed harder. I shouldn't have just left. I should have made him come with me. I shouldn't have given in so readily. But even still, away he went, trusting in faith. And do you know what God does to our steps of obedient faith? He honors them. When we take a step of obedient faith, God will honor those steps. And that is what faith is. How often have we stepped out in faith, have been scared and confused and apprehensive, only later to look back and say, "Oh, so that's what you were doing." You know, I used the example of my failed marriage, and you know, at the time, as it continued moving towards the divorce, I could not understand what God was doing. And it wasn't until years later that I looked back and I realized now that, you know, I have with my wife current, Vicky, and we have a son who's just an amazing young man, and you know, and I have a great relationship with my other kids, and even my ex-wife, we have a better relationship now than we did when we were married. And you know, I look back and I say, "So that's what you were doing, God, amongst a million other things. He was organizing it all together." And this is what Jesus does. He puts us through circumstances that we don't want to go through. He makes us face things that we don't want to face in order to achieve what he wanted with all of our hearts all along. And that requires faith. So today I encourage you to stick to the faith that you have. Step out on the little faith that you don't know about and trust that the Lord will honor that, because he always does. Well, again, we thank you for tuning in to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. My name is Matthew Monona. Me and my wife run and operate the Wash and Word, and we invite you to come by and get your car washed. And tune in tomorrow at this time for another verse-by-verse Bible message as we start chapter 5, the Gospel of John. Till then, have a blessed day. We love you.